Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Everyone, this is BT and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside 6 steps to manifestation. It's a good one.
It is.
You started the episode by sharing some basic truths by a pair of your favorite authors that we've heard from quite often on the Successful Mind Podcast. Working with the Law by Halliwell.
Yep.
And Your Invisible Power by Genevieve Behrendt.
Yeah. And God Works Through Faith.
Works Through Faith was in there as well. We don't go very far without that little gem there. But I want to read two of the quotes that you wrote. The first one from Working with the Law, and then the second one from Your Invisible Power, because you went back and forth between those as we were going through the 6 steps of manifestation.
Yeah.
So in Working with the Law, this is a great quote. True desire represents the urge of life, seeking a fuller expression, and is kept alive by continuous expectation of its fulfillment. It brings to us ways and means for its manifestations. The principle explains no desire is felt until the supply is ready to appear. Now, you have said that millions of times to people all around the world. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you now, and how has it evolved over time? Just hearing that quote, because I get chills thinking no desire is felt until the supply is ready to appear. What does that mean to you?
You know, it's interesting because the first time I read it, I felt like a kid on Christmas morning. And this many years later, I still feel like a kid on Christmas morning. It means all possibilities. Anything you could think of, anything that you could truly want, not only can you do it, but it's already here.
Sure.
That's why the law of polarity is my favorite law, because that law, I mean, I don't know. You know, I think about so many times probably when we're growing up or we're kids or something, we hear about what you can't do. I heard that over and over again. My mother was no. Like, it was
the
like
queen of the can't.
Oh, fucking no. The only word she freaking knew was no. So, of course, that probably raised the desire in me to get past that and have things in my life. I know that my extreme end of my personality has got to come from that.
Sure.
Like, there's no question. But there was always the question of whether or not you actually could. Like, even if somebody said, yes, could you actually do it? Could you become a millionaire? Like, nobody was a millionaire in my family.
Right.
You know, could you do that? Is it possible? Could you do that? Then there was something that was really a conflict. My father has an entrepreneurial spirit. He's retired now, but he had an entrepreneurial spirit. And he owned several businesses in his lifetime. And some of them were pretty successful. But there were some that weren't. And my mother said, he's a dreamer. Like, he'll never be successful at anything because he always has to start something new. And we were not raised with the understanding of an entrepreneurial mind, right? It was really looked down on, and it was looked at as being irresponsible. So my father had that mind. He still has that mind, but he had that mind. And he had the courage to go out and try and do things. And of course, you know, they cost money, right? You know, not everything worked. Some things worked, not everything worked. Anyway, before he actually got something to really work, they had gotten divorced, you know. But that was my mom's view of him. Like, he was immature, you know, he has a restless mind, and it was
dreamer.
Looked down on, right? And I knew I was a dreamer as a kid. I'm thinking to myself, am I irresponsible? You know? And then, of course, my working years, well, I shouldn't say this, like, when I was a teenager, my working years, I would say, were successful. It was later on, after responsibility and all that started to hit, that I couldn't live up to it, which caused me to be angry and then go down a dark road. However, I was in this place of, is this real? Why am I feeling what I'm feeling? Now, it all goes back to the questions that I was thinking of when I was a child, trying to figure out why my family was screwed up, trying to figure out why the world was screwed up. I was looking through answers through the things that were in my life, I had religion. I had Catholicism. I had school. I went to Catholic school for a while, and I went to public school for a while. I had different mediums of information that were coming in that I was trying to get answers through, which were not giving me the answers, and I didn't know where else to look. So I had some big questions about the human personality and our human experience on Earth when I was a kid. And it was kind of like all these things that we feel on the inside, if we come from a loving God, isn't that kind of like abuse to have, like if you're God and you're going to create a human being and you give them these wishes, these hopes, these dreams, these desires inside of them, but then they can't do them. Like, what's that about?
It's cruel.
It's cruel.
Sure.
Right? It doesn't
sure.
make any sense.
Right.
There's no logical sense to that in my mind. And I've heard religion try to explain it away a million ways. I just don't agree with it. I'm not buying it. It's crap. It's total bullshit. I don't buy it. But that was my journey. That was what I was looking for. I was looking for the source of what is the truth in that area. And I had these desires, right? So I'm wrestling. You know, I'm wrestling with it. Is it because I'm immature, right? Do I need to grow up and like just figure out how to be happy working a 9-to-5 job and taking care of my family and retiring and get a week's vacation? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Try to figure that out? I couldn't get there in my head.
Sure.
I'm like, I have to know. So for me, it was when I read this, that was verification to me that this is true. This is real. This is what's going on in me is real. I can actually do this. I don't know how, but now it gave me permission.
Sure.
I think that's what it did. I think I'm searching for what is the right answer to your question.
Right.
And I think that's what it is. It gave me permission and a verification that it was real, that what I was feeling inside of me was authentic, and that all I needed to do was apply myself in my world the best that I could, and I would figure out how to manifest that in my life. And of course, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's what I love about how you're able to pull out even that no desire is felt until the supply is ready to appear piece in that book. You're able to create an entire way of being around just those, you know, 8 or 9 words that were in that. I think that's one of the major gifts that you've given to the world is you're able to pull those things out. And I love, there's a lot to unpack in what you just said, but the thing that really jumped out to me the most is, you know, you talked about being a seeker first and foremost of information, which you've made a career on, but also you, when you spoke about your dad, about being a dreamer. And, you know, immediately when you think of dreamer, I think of, you know, the young elementary school, you know, me who might have had visions of being an astronaut or something like that. And people would bring you back down to earth, pun intended, to say, you can't do that. You won't be able to do that. You've got to have this, that, or the other. And, you know, it reminded me of when we had the podcast where you talked about Frank Sinatra. And Frank Sinatra himself was even told, I mean, Frank Sinatra was one of the, you know, most well-known, renowned singers, actors of his generation. And he was told he was a dreamer, even from his parents. They're like, you're not going to make it. I'm currently, based on your recommendation, reading the book about Shep Gordon. I've seen the documentary multiple times, but Supermensch by Shep Gordon. And he talks about how he was really driven to prove his mom wrong because they just kept telling him, you can't do this. You're not making it. He invited him up to Madison Square Garden. There were 200 people in the audience. See, there you go. Invite us when there's more people in here. You didn't make it. And that was the constant thing he was hearing. So the one thing that I know is that dreamers change the world.
Yeah.
And the more you can allow those dreams to fill you up, the more you're going to chase them. And that's why the desire that is there, what you want is already here too.
I
think there's a lot of people they're saying, well, you're just saying the exact same things that David said, correct. But do you believe it? Do those people believe it? And that one sentence alone tells you and gave you permission, like you said, that it's already here.
100%.
Yeah.
I think I read it a lot today because I teach from it a lot, but it's like I'm 21 years now in this company, starting from since I started this business, probably getting close to 30 years in studying. And I still feel that youthful enthusiasm when I read this. And it's not the same with everything that I read, but there are certain things that just, like if I get stuck, if I'm, Well, when COVID happened, right? Like, I was not happy that I mean, nobody was happy, but just like my own transparency, it prevented me from doing the things that I love to do the most, which is teach and speak live, right? That I really love to do that. And it's not, I don't care what anybody says, it's not the same over Zoom, you know, it's not the same over the phone. So that is the performance part of my personality, right? I come from a long line of performers in my life, you know, going back generations. That's part of who I am. And I was not happy, still not happy that that happened. There are times, I think, where if enough things get stacked on each other, I don't lose my enthusiasm for what I do. But it causes me to question some things, right? And then I go back and I read something like this and it's like, gone. Because it reminds me, if I have the desire, the way to do it's already here. Now, I may not know the way, but it's already here. My job is to hold the desire and visualize what I want. Being a person who's a bit of an overachiever, I always want to do something. Like, I want to do it. What do I do? What's the next thing I do? What's the next thing I do? What's the next thing I do? Sometimes you have to take a step back because when you don't know what to do, right, or what there is to do is not obvious at the moment, you just have to sit there with the vision and you have to sit there with the expectation that's going to happen. And sure as shit, something always shows up. You know, an opportunity shows up, a new way of doing things shows up. It's how the podcast got started. Right. You know, I mean, I was looking for something, didn't know what it was. I knew about this podcast thing. I'm like, I got a ton of material. Let's try it. Let's see what happens.
Sure.
I enjoyed it, and it's just grown by leaps and bounds since we started it. And that's kind of like how everything that I've done has come to fruition. Some things have not worked, but they've morphed into something else. So this brings a light to me. It verifies my dreams and desires, even if, because I have lots of dreams and desires that I have not manifested yet. And this verifies that they're still relevant in my life.
Sure. Yeah. You know, what I love in that is, you know, you talked about, you know, the impulsivity of something and actually taking a step back for a moment and actually seeing what may be and what's in your thoughts before you proceed. I think a lot of people just think that, you know, you just act immediately, and you do have an impulsive nature to you, and it's a positive impulsivity, but there are some times when it can be a detriment. But so what I love about that, and I think the listeners will too, is that even when you're making these sort of decisions and you know you've got this desire, sometimes it's good to take a step back and assess the situation for a moment. I'm not talking, you know, 10, 12 years or 15 years, right. But I guess if that's your speed, that's your speed. But you take a moment to really settle in and then choose the course of action you're going to go and get that thing. I love that. I think that's great. I mean, impulsivity can be a very, very good thing. Again, I'm thinking of impulsivity as a negative word, just like I thought when you said dreamer as a negative word. Those are not negative words. Those are like brilliant methods for people to get their voices out in the world and be heard.
I would rather be impulsive and start 10 things that are just completely stupid fucking ideas than sit around second guessing as to whether I should or shouldn't. There's been things that I had absolutely no logical, I could not explain to somebody logically why we should do this. I just knew that we should do it, right? And sometimes those have been really great things that we've done. Sometimes they've been total flops. Like I was completely wrong. I was totally wrong about it. Sure. I don't have a problem being wrong. I just know that I need to know whether what's going on inside of me is real or if it's not real. And the only way to do that is to step into the possibility of actually doing it.
Yeah, it's living a life with no regrets. I mean, you know, when we go into the bathroom here at Team Nagel headquarters, you know, there's a Michael Jordan poster prominently displayed on the men's room wall that basically said he missed more shots than he made.
Yeah.
Yet he's still considered the greatest player of all time, right? So you look at that and you say to yourself, I would rather, you know, shoot for the moon and land among the stars than not even try at all. But there's a lot of people out there who, whether it's through safety, security, or past programming that they received from their caregivers as children, that they will be on their deathbed and they will say to themselves, man, I have a regret. And you do not want to live your life with a regret. So, you know, go out there and do it. Now there's people out there who will say, well, you got to be responsible. Well, immediately you brought in safety and security right there. responsibility, you have a responsibility to yourself to go out and do those types of things. And I love that even in that one small quote around working with the law that came out. So thanks for that. All right, let's transition into Your Invisible Power by Genevieve Behrendt. And this quote is a little bit longer, but also very complimentary to what was said by Hollywell. When your understanding grasps the power to visualize your heart's desire and hold it with your will, it attracts to you all things requisite to the fulfillment of that picture by the harmonious vibrations of the law of attraction. Yeah. Now, we don't need to get into the law of attraction here, but what really stands out to me the most is you know, that word like visualizing that desire and holding it. And that takes discipline, right? So if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about your discipline, and even to this day, I assume you've got to have some level of discipline because even as schooled as you are in these areas, you still may have a wandering sense and you might not be 100% immediately defaulting to that. So what's it like for you to hold that intention and visualize with your heart's desire? What does that look like?
That's a good question. What does that look like? Well, I don't think for me that, I don't think that part has been so much of a challenge for me. One of the things that I realized, and it took me a while to realize this, somebody said this to me in a negative connotation years ago, but it caused me to think about it. So when I first, it might have been when I first made a million, somebody said to me, or said of me, this was not said to me, but it was said of me. It was somebody in my family, right? And they said, well, David always gets everything that he wants. And I got pissed at first, you know, like, because they're basically saying like,
he's spoiled. He's a spoiled little brat.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. That's what I heard.
So I thought about that for a while and I realized something that was very interesting. When I was a kid, if I got locked into an idea, I always got it. It always happened. And I do think that that was associated with some people saying that I was spoiled. Right. And I want to, I'm not even going to say that. Let's just leave it at that. It always happened. What I did not know was that how I was creating that to actually happen. This desire thing is different than a mere want, right? Like you and I might be driving down the street and I see somebody riding a really cool Harley and it'd be like, oh, fuck, I want a Harley. Like that looks really cool. But I really don't have a desire to go out and buy a Harley, at least not right now.
Sure.
Like maybe sometime.
Could change.
But I really don't have a desire to do that. But when I have a desire to do something, it's almost like I get locked into it. It's like I become one with the thing. I just know that it's going to happen. I don't know when. I don't know how. I just know that it's going to happen. It's interesting because it's hard to explain that feeling. It's like you know that you know. And it could be crazy. It could be like the craziest damn thing. And then, of course, over some period of time, it actually happens. So I don't think that the visualization was very hard for me. I never had a difficult time doing that. When I get that idea in, because I'm a very visual person, like I think very visually. When I see that in my mind, it's usually very, very clear. I do write things down on goal cards, right? Like an overall idea of a vision or a goal that I want. But it's not something that I have to remind myself of. It's always there either in the back or the front of my mind.
Yeah. I almost feel as if that was something that you were born with. I feel like that was innate. Not that you haven't honed it. I don't mean to diminish your accomplishments, but I feel like, you know, you knowing that at a young age and when for people to recognize that, oh, he's just spoiled, but you to be able to say, no, I actually get what I want because I put all my attention and focus towards getting that thing. I feel like that's something you're born with and you've done an amazing job expanding on that. So just because you're born with the ability to shoot a basketball doesn't mean you become Michael Jordan, right? Just because you are born with a musical talent, you don't become, you know, the Rolling Stones. There's things that have to go your way, but you also have to continue to hone that knife's edge and keep that sharp. And you've definitely done that. But I love that you that you were able to talk about that in this particular episode. So you did mention the six steps to manifestation. I'm going to just reiterate those for the listeners. And I'd encourage them to go back and listen to the explanations of each of these because they're really quite solid. But step one, formulate our desire to see it clearly in the mind. Step two, impress it with deep feeling upon the subconscious mind to see ourselves accomplishing that thing. Step three, exercise our faith by accepting the desire as fulfilled. Fourth step, keep our feeling and thinking moving with our desire. Fifth step, to speak always in terms of expectancy and fulfillment. And then the final step, to act as if it were already fulfilled. I would definitely encourage people to, you know, write these down, print these off, do a quick little Google search. Because if I'm not mistaken, that came out of God Works Through Faith, correct?
Yeah,
is that where that, yeah, did, and yeah. You came out of, and God Works Through Faith is a program that has changed, I don't know how many thousands of lives with that program that you've done. And there's people out there that get a little concerned with the title, you know, they fear like the, maybe the religious bent of it.
Yeah, because it is, it's based in the Christian tradition. So if that bothers you, then it probably won't be good for you. But if you can get by that and you could put your own terminology in there, then it's a great book.
There's so many nuggets in there. And of course, the basis of this entire, you know, podcast was around that, as most of them are. But I recap those six steps because there are a few common threads or through lines that come with manifestation. And you mentioned them in the podcast. And the first one was understanding. Yeah. You talked about the importance of understanding. Then you also talked about gratitude. Can you just, you know, once again, bring us up to speed on what level of understanding is required for manifestation and then how gratitude sort of feeds that beast?
Well, the idea is that when you realize that everything is here for a purpose and that you don't want or desire something for just no reason at all, or just some whim or a fancy of a you know, capricious God or something like that, you start to really wake up. You start to wake up to the idea that, yeah, you know, there's, I'm living, I'm in a body, I'm in this lifetime, I've had experiences. And all of these experiences are not just random experiences. They're for a reason. Everything's for a reason. So when you think about it and you come to that understanding and then you start to accept that, the thing that you realize is that everything that has happened in your life has to happen for one reason, for you to fulfill your purpose. That's the only reason.
Sure.
And you might say, well, how do you know that? Look at all of life. That's how all of life operates. That's where you mentioned I talk about animals or nature or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's exactly that. Everything in nature, everything is moving toward life. Everything is for the creation and the completion and the expression of life. When I understand that, I have a much, what we would call a God's eye view of life, which means that, yes, we could get down into, you know, like the bug's eye view of life, where everything seems bigger than us. But the God's eye view of life begins to see why everything is happening and orchestrated in the exact order that it needs to be in order to create the destiny, right? The destiny of mankind, sure. The destiny of blah, blah. So when I understand that, it makes it far easier to understand the things in life that are difficult. The tragedies, the traumas, the hurts, the disappointments, and understand that they're all part of the process for me to grow and to self-actualize and to create this life that I actually desire. Even the mistakes, you have to make the mistakes. You have to make the mistakes. You cannot get where you want to go without those mistakes, because it's the acknowledgement of the mistake, the awareness of the mistake, understanding what you did or didn't do to create that, and then learning something different to create the opposite of it. That's where the gratitude comes in. I could be grateful for all of that now because I don't need to go back and justify or have somebody rectify or have somebody apologize. It was all necessary, so it had to happen. So there's no reason to feel bad about it.
Sure.
And instantly, I think when a person comes to that awareness, all of the hurt and pain can just fall away because you see it from a different perspective. You know?
Yeah, totally. Well, it's easy for people to be grateful when things are coming up aces, right? It's when it's when things are coming at you fast and furious and everything's difficult. I feel as if the majority of us have, we lean towards the victim and it's happening to us instead of us actually saying, I created this and what can I learn from it? One of your driving questions that you taught me really early on when you were our mentor was, you know, what's the truth in this first and foremost, but then what can I learn from this? Right. What can be taken from this? Because we were having a conversation over the weekend with a few people and we talked about how we want to make mistakes. And that's one thing that you've done in your company is you are very much encouraging us to make as many mistakes as we can, because in the mistakes, you find a better way to do things. Yeah. You find a better way to be. And that's a very interesting way to come at it, especially from a perfectionist like myself. It's difficult to do those things. But when you are given the freedom to do that, your brain, and there's like research, Steph's reading a book right now about research that says the more mistakes that you make, the better you're going to come out, because the synapses are creating new pathways every time you fuck up.
100%.
I love that.
Totally.
And we're not teaching that to our kids. We want them to be perfect.
Yeah.
We're not teaching that even in our adult lives to be we want to be perfect. I love that we can do that.
And if you also think about it from the law, this is why this works with the synapses. Every time you make a mistake, there's another opposite, alternate way of doing something. So you literally start to expand your ability to problem solve and rationalize and realize and reason through different things. You have more options. You're literally creating more mental options for yourself when you allow yourself to make mistakes, because you can see more ways of doing things and not doing things.
I can't think of a more well-rounded individual than a person who makes a ton of mistakes. Like it's almost like a choose your own mystery that I used to read when I was a kid. You know, you turn to this page and you see that, I got eaten by the monster, so I'm going to go the other direction. And then I go here and then it leads me to this place. So even though the mistakes are there, you learn from them and grow them. Now, if you continue to repeat the same mistake over and over and over again, you clearly
get
it. Yeah, something's wrong. But if you make the mistake, celebrate that mistake and give it gratitude. Like, be grateful that you made that mistake, because now you found a new way of doing something.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, it's easy when everything's coming up gravy that you can just be grateful. But be grateful in the shittiest times of your life, and you're going to see how amazing your life can be, because you're really feeling that.
And the faster you get out of the shitty times.
Totally. Yeah, the refraction period of being in and being out is much quicker. I can speak for that myself. Whereas, you know, the person who used to hover over the keyboard afraid to send out an email to, you know, 30,000 people for fear I misspelled a word versus
just the grammar police come down.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, right? Hey, you use the wrong there. I'm like, fuck you. Spelling's a perception. # David Nagel. So yeah, no, totally. I love that, especially the gratitude part. And we talk a lot about gratitude on this show. And I love that you bring the understanding in there, because it really does help. And I think, you know, closing this out, this particular episode, you gave everyone an exercise to do. And this is really interesting for people who claim to be the most positive. I know people who would claim from, you know, carte blanche that they are completely and totally positive people. And just by listening to their conversations, they are not positive people. So you talked about an exercise where over the course of the next week, just kind of keep a notepad close and kind of make note of the times when negative speak enters into the conversation. And that helps you become aware of the power of words. What were some things early on in your days, or even now, where you kind of catch yourself and be like, the way I said that was a little negative, or the way I thought, you don't even have to say it sometimes, just by thinking it, it's there. What are some maybe strategies or some things that you used in your past that helped you sort of circumnavigate that negative speak and bring in the positivity in any situation?
The big one for me is when I find myself repeating it. Right.
Sure.
And so that was something that Bob taught me. You were allowed to basically express something that was wrong or went wrong or whatever once. And then it was speaking about what you wanted instead. Right. So I'm acutely aware when I say something I don't want more than once. Right. Like if something like, well, yesterday when we came in or I was here early in the morning to talk with a group of people and our internet was out.
Right.
Right. So if I find myself talking about that more than once, I'm like, I'm creating a story. Why am I creating this story? So that was big for me with that one. And the other one is, why am I choosing to have this experience?
Correct.
So I would notice when I was having experience that was not going well, and I'm asking myself, why am I choosing to do this? Not from a negative judgmental place, but from a place of gaining awareness. Why am I having this experience?
Yeah, I love
that. So when something goes really wrong, or even a little wrong, but you know, really wrong is when you really start to pay attention.
Well, yeah.
I'll say to myself, why am I having this? What do I need to learn? There's a big learning thing here for me, and I need to figure out what it is because I don't want to repeat this mother again.
I've got a perfect example of this. 3 years ago, when we moved into our beautiful new house here in North Carolina, within the first week, everything that could have gone wrong with that beautiful house went wrong. And you actually came over, and we had some words, and we kind of, you know, just had a good conversation around what can we do and why are we choosing to have this experience? My kids hate that. because they've heard it so often. But what it came down to for me, and I was creating all sorts of havoc in the house, whether it was a flood or a broken window or something along those lines, I didn't feel I was deserving of that house. We hadn't bought a house in years. And the last time we bought a house, we took a bath on it, right?
Yeah.
So I felt that I wasn't deserving of that. And because I felt that, one thing led to another thing, led to another thing. And then after about the third thing, you start to say, you know, well, you know, blaming. You're blaming everybody around you. Well, goddamn, we got hoodwinked by the realtor. This happened.
Right.
And the reality was I was creating all that nonsense because I was trying to find a way to validate that I wasn't worthy of that house.
Yeah.
And because you were able to help me see that, I was like, it immediately stopped. And we've lived in that house for 3 years.
Isn't that amazing?
With no issues. It's that simple. If you understand how this all works, if you're able to realize that you are creating everything in your life. For the people out there who love to create good things, good for you. But if you create a bad thing, own that shit.
Yeah.
I think it really comes down to owning your shit.
You own it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, I could sit here and talk about this all day, but I think this is an outstanding episode. 6 Steps to Manifestation. Definitely listen to this one over and over again. I think you're going to get a lot out of it. So, and of course, thanks for coming inside, David.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.